Here. I've never taught on Sunday morning from Fort Worth and or in Fort Worth. I did once or twice in Dallas, and I've been going to this church for like 20 years. So my name's David. It's my wife. It's one of my daughters. I know most of you. I am standing up here by faith. I actually, Danny had asked, I guess, just for me to teach this week, and you know, I was getting ready, and I was going to have like this all this time to prepare, and you know, I was going to try to put together this really well organized, eloquent sermon, my first ever. And then I was relieved to find out that Joelle was going to be here, and so I think Thursday we were like, I don't think you need to preach, and so I'm like, awesome, because I've been dealing with some stuff, and just my week, you know, without going into detail, just a lot of, just blindsided by trouble and problems, and I'm sure you all can relate, just things that were just kind of piling on, and it was completely taking all my attention, things at work, things at home, and so I just didn't feel like I was going to be ready, and then last night, I guess you had texted and said, hey, I guess we're going to need you anyway. And so I am standing up here by faith. This is Christ in me. If there's anything good that's going to come out of this, it's going to be Christ in me. So I've got a few scriptures, just some things that I've been chewing on. And so hopefully it's a blessing to you guys. I'm going to start with prayer because I need God to speak. If there's anything worthy, anything good that I have to share, it's just going to be the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you just for your love. Thank you that you love us so much. I just ask right now, Lord, that you just minister to all the hearts in the room. God, I know you love everybody in this room so much. Wasn't expecting that. Lord, we just need you to speak. So, okay, God's good. So I want to start by just saying God loves us, and because he loves us, he's got us on a different path. And, you know, it's this chairs thing. It's not just chairs. It's not just, you know, stuff that we've heard 1,000 times. I know Shannon is really tired of hearing the chairs message. I'm probably tired. I'm probably tired of hearing the chairs message. And I will say, when I went to Uganda about a year or two ago, I was just hearing Pastor Jim go through the chairs again. And I was reading Ephesians, and he just really showed me that, you know, this chairs message is just in the scripture. It's just all it is. If you read the Bible a whole bunch, you'll see there's a pattern. God loves you unconditionally. He comes in. He loves us so much. And I'm sorry, this is just a very emotional week. He loves us so much, and because he loves us, he doesn't leave us where we are. So he has us go through stuff, and I saw some stuff this week, and you know, on the other side of this, we're gonna look awesome, and so Psalm 118, get it back together. Okay, so I'm gonna read some scriptures here. We'll see if we can get this all pulled together. Psalm 118, verse 22. Can somebody read this? 22 and 23. Actually, I'll read it. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I just have to say that, you know, my whole life, I grew up in the church. I grew up in around Mansfield. And I grew up out in the country. And I always was just trying to belong, always just trying to be worthy. I basically wanted to, you know, make myself into a worthy stone. And as I was reading this morning, God was just showing this to me this week. You know, that's that just doesn't work. Whenever you try to amount to something, it doesn't work. And there's a lot of pressure on us as people, and even as Christians, there's even more pressure on us to try to measure up, and we can't. And because of that, we reject ourselves, and the world rejects us. And the funny thing is that those refused stones, that Spirit of Christ that's in us, that is what becomes the head of the corner. It becomes the feature, big thing that that is what this world is waiting on. And it's what this world is looking for. And it's what we're looking for. And so as I was growing up and just trying to always measure up, always trying to amount to something. You know, I grew up in the country, like I said, and I was around a lot of just country club kids and kids who are upper class. And, you know, I was always trying to measure up to them. And I just always had this sense of, you know, I've got to perform. I've got to amount to something. I've got to make A's. I've got to get into a good college. I've got to be accepted. And it's just so obvious that I was not going to make it with that path. That path just does not work. And the cool thing is that as you become a Christian, God just gives it to you. Like Danny was saying, it's just a gift. And it's the thing is, too, it's like God has this heart for, he has a heart for the rejects. And he has a heart for people who clearly don't measure up. And that moment in college when I actually met Jeff and I went to the core and I clearly wasn't measuring up there either, that's where I started for the first time in my life to see it doesn't matter. In fact, embrace the fact that you're weak. You know, God just completely flips everything upside down. And he rejects those who actually count on their worthiness in the flesh. And so that's my testimony, is just that I don't look good. I mean, I did iron my shirt this morning. I thought I was going to be able to come up here and speak, but I clearly can't. But it doesn't take you to spend much time with me or get to know me or my family to just know that I'm a complete mess, just across the board. But I embrace that, and I thank God because I feel like I have a real relationship with Him, which I don't know how many people really know that. So what I'm going to try to say today is just that God, as a Christian, He's got all of us on a different path. We're on a different path than the world. The world is trying to amount to something. We're not going to amount to anything in the flesh. If you've accepted Christ and He's living in your heart, you're not going to amount to anything in the flesh. It's just not the path that you're on. If you signed up for this thing, you know, this thing here, starting with faith, the free gift, there's just going to be some twists and turns to the story in your life that's going to, it's going to rock your world when it comes to the flesh. And so I just want to go through a couple of things. I don't know if that serves as an introduction or not, but we're on a different path is what I want to try to say. So Paul understood this, and he was talking by the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians, which if you open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, Paul was, he was on the road to trying to amount to something, you know, and he was pretty successful up until when God got a hold of him. And he's in this letter here to the Corinthians, he's talking to the city in Greece, this church in the city in Greece. And if you think about who the Greeks were, you know, they're like one of the founding societies of civilization. I mean, they invented democracy. And so, you know, Socrates and the whole thing with inventing logic, basically, writing it down at least, and just they had things kind of figured out in the flesh. And there's some value to that. I think it's kind of fun to look at some of that stuff. But if you kind of keep that in mind as he's talking to the Corinthians, you know, he definitely points out the difference between a godly sort of a wisdom and a godly sort of a way of carrying yourself and this different path that we're on versus the one of the flesh. And I'm just going to start with verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And he was talking about why we don't really have respect for one person over another, this teacher versus that teacher. It's not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I mean, that's a powerful verse for me. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world, or the world, to confound the wise. It's almost like He enjoys just confusing them, which is interesting. And He has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so, that I don't know if you see it there, but that's the chairs. You know, that's 4, 5, and 6. And I think as Christians, you know, we're going through this process where, you know, you become a Christian. I became a Christian when I was in college. Like I said, I was at A&M and clearly was not making it on my own. And it was obvious to me. It was starting to become obvious, I think, to everybody else. And as I accepted Christ, you know, I think as a Christian, you sometimes think that still you're going to be able to, okay, now I've got Jesus, and that I can still just kind of put this whole thing together where I can be a successful Christian or a heroic Christian. Actually, committed my life to become a missionary, which is kind of funny, because it's 20-something years later, and I still have not really been a missionary. I remember just having this idea that I was going to go out and, you know, create this big change. And this is when I first started coming to this church. And I remember back then the church was packed. And I was coming, it was like standing room only. I was sitting in the back with the metal chairs. And that was the only place you could sit. And I remember afterwards talking to Robert. And Robert was like, yeah, man of God, go, you know, go out into the world. And, you know, he thought I was ready, you know. And I was starting to kind of get my ideas together of what I wanted to do. And I remember talking to Pastor Jim, and he was like, you're not ready. And he was just asking me through the checklist, like, do you have any debts? And I said, well, yeah, actually, I do. I have some debt. I have some school debt. So he's like, well, you need to at least pay that off first, just practically. You don't want to leave a whole bunch of debt while you're off trying to save the world. And so that ended up kind of bogging me down for a little while. And then ended up getting married. And we did get out of debt. And then I just kind of got distracted by stuff. And so I guess you just see that, like, as you begin this journey, you think you're going one way. You think you're, like, I thought I was going straight from 4 to 6. I thought I was saved. I'm just going to go love people and be this hero Christian, and it's going to just be easy. And it's just this straight path. It's like if you look at the distance from Egypt to the Promised Land, it's really not that far. It's like 2 weeks by foot. But it didn't take them 2 weeks. You know, it took them a lot longer than 2 weeks. And I think my own journey has been a lot of that same just meandering. And it's that process of just losing your life. And it wasn't what I signed up for. It's not anything I've signed up for, at least in my mind. I did sign up for it in my heart. And so I'm just along for the ride here. And God is, man, I feel like some weeks I feel like everything's fine. Some weeks I'm just completely falling apart, clearly. And so it's good. I embrace the weakness. And I just feel like after we come out of this chair 5, we are going to be ready to love people. And it's just going to be awesome. And so you see that with Paul here, is that our boasting, if there's any boasting whatsoever, it's stuff that's just not, it's not in the natural. It's foolish to the world. It doesn't look spectacular or successful, or it just doesn't look like it's all put together, but it's Jesus. And so I guess I'm going to move next into 2 Corinthians 4. So Paul's talking again in a different letter, and you can kind of get this spirit of what he's trying to say. Is this making any sense? Am I all over the place? Okay. Just making sure. So 2 Corinthians, this has been on my heart this week, and it's the same idea that we're on this different path. We're on a different path as Christians. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. And just keep in mind the weak things, the weak areas of your own life, maybe the areas of your life where you're disappointed, the areas of your life where you're not seeing God show up, the darkness, the confusion, all the stuff. Just think about all that.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered, says always, but always, I guess, is a King James way of saying always, delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. If I could just pause there, I don't know how often you guys feel death, like utter darkness. And that's actually normal, because this world is just messed up, and we're messed up. We have flesh. We're going through this process. The flesh is getting burned. And like I said, we're going to come out on this other side, and we're going to be glorious. And it's just going to be awesome. But it does not feel good at times. And it's something we need to embrace as Christians. It's just the way it is. Things don't look good. Things do not always look good. And we're not living by the way things look. We're living by the way that, like Danny was saying, it's just invisible. This whole thing is invisible. You cannot put your eyes on how you're doing, what you look at when you see the mirror. You're going to have to just look at the Word. And I'm preaching to myself here, because it's so easy to just get caught up in this game where you're trying to measure up and you're trying to live your life according to the way that everybody else lives their life. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I think if you were to talk even to people who are in this world who actually maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus, I think they know that. They know that there's a lot of just messed up stuff. There's anxiety. There's depression. There's emotional stuff. There's physical stuff. There's, this world is just waiting. You know, it says in Romans that the world is waiting and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to just be Jesus. And that death is part of the resurrection process. You cannot manifest Christ without death. And so I'm just seeing that this week, that light shines out of darkness. It does not shine out of fake light. It is not going to shine out of false light. It is utterly shining out of darkness. It goes into dark places, and we have that stuff in us, and the world has it, and it is just, it's just the way it is. Jesus had to die. I don't know why he had to die, but he did. And it ain't easy. It's not easy to go through. So, death worketh in us, but life in you. And this is that, what I see as chair six. You know, as we have that death that works in us, we're then able to speak life into other people. And I don't know how that works, but Jesus, it worked for Jesus. You know, he died so he could love us. And so I would assume it works the same with us as we follow the path that he's you know, blazed a new trail for us to follow in. So we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also us by Jesus and shall present us with you. So this is Paul, you know, he's talking to this church and he wants them to be blessed. for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I guess I'm getting close to the end here, but I can just say that probably 99% of my life, I'm living in this fake light that's, again, trying to negate the nature of Christ that's in me, and it's trying to live in this other path where I'm trying to amount to something. And you know, God's jerking me off that path and putting me on this other path, and he's just, again, putting me back on this path of, you're going to be emptied, and that's what you signed up for. And so just remembering that it's not always going to look good, but that our eyes are not on the visible. It's on the unseen. It's on the invisible. And I was thinking this week, I'll just add this before I close. I was thinking this week, you know, I don't play poker, but I was thinking of this metaphor, when you play poker. I was thinking about how you, apparently you have a good hand and a strong hand, right? You know, and you're hiding your hand, but your face and the way you present yourself to other people around the table you're playing with reflects the strength of the hand that you're playing. And I just realized, you know, I live my life too often as if I have a weak hand. And I'm being overcome with emotion. It's been a tough week. But I can tell you, in Christ, I know I have a strong hand. And I know that I have confidence, and I know that I have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. All the stuff in Ephesians, all the free gift stuff that, you know, you see in as a new Christian in chair 4. But if you're looking for your confidence and your strength in the things that are visible, you're going to get really confused, because there are going to be times when you just don't see a strong hand. You're not going to see financially or health-wise or in your relationships. It's just not going to look good. And I think for us to be the light, they're looking for confidence. They're looking for you to be, you know, confidence in the Lord, confidence and trust in the Lord. And this is, again, me speaking to myself, that we do have a strong hand, and we don't have to walk around like we are what we see, and we are even against the Bible. I know we don't do what we're probably supposed to be doing as Christians. I measure myself against what Paul is, and it's ridiculous. I mean, I sometimes wonder if I'm even a Christian. You know, Jeff and I talk on the phone sometimes, and I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that. But it's like, I've been a Christian. I've been at this church for 20-something years, and it's just like, I'm not seeing a whole lot of fruit. And it's just keeping your eye on the right things. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not believing in the Word that you're reading, which the belief comes by just hearing it, and if you're not there, then you really are going to walk around with a weak hand, or thinking you have a weak hand when you have a strong one. And how much better is life when you can walk around with joy, and you know that you have the advantage, and you know that you have every gift that you could ever need? It's just, to me, it's an encouragement. When I read these words in Corinthians, that, you know, Paul is not counting on the things that are visible. He's putting his trust in the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the invisible things. It's the promises. It's the Scripture. It's just getting all that software downloaded in your soul and believing it. And that's ultimately chair 6. That's where you're able to love people. And life is a joy. Life is actually a joy even going through chair five. All of the chairs are joy, but it just sometimes doesn't feel like it. Death is actually a good thing. And that's what I'm learning, is that, I thank God for this last week. I thank God for this next week. The best is yet to come. And we do go through seasons where we're going to experience some type of just messed up stuff. You know, it may not be physical death, but it might be, looks pretty bad. It might look like God's not there, in other words. And I think just to see that our faith is not based on that. Our faith is based on the promise that we're going to come out on the other side. It's going to be good. And so, I guess the last thing is I'm actually getting out early because it's 12:21, so we're supposed to get out at 12:30. The last thing is just that, you know, I was remembering Elisha, and Elijah? He was out, and he was with a servant, and Elisha had these eyes to see the invisible. And he saw the army coming against them. And he just prayed that the guy that was with him would see, as the fear is mounting and you're seeing, you know, the enemy rise up against you. It's just so easy to see, to have eyes to see that there are angels that are around you. You have the advantage. Your advantage is invisible. It's never going to be visible, maybe at times, but we cannot trust in those moments where it's visible. We have to have special eyes, and that just takes time. And it takes this chair five process. And so I pray that all of us in here would just be encouraged that everything's rigged in your favor. Everything is going to work out perfectly. You're not going to see it in the moment. If you're looking with your physical eyes, you're going to see it by faith. And that's just the way it is. We're different people. We're on a different path, and it's because God loves us. He just wants us to be prepared for heaven. So I'm just going to pray. Thank you guys for putting up with that. God, you're so good. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We just love you. We just count on you, Father. We just pray that everybody in here would be encouraged, that everyone in here would just know that you love them. Just personally, individually, each one of them, no matter how messed up they think they are as a Christian, how messed up they think they are as just a human being, if they think they don't measure up, if they're measuring themselves by any other measuring stick than what you say about them, we just rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. We just pray that anyone who's looking in the mirror and they're seeing something that is not just completely lovely, Lord, we just rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. We just pray that you would show everybody in here personally that you love them so much, and that I know it takes time sometimes to understand, but the love's already there. We just don't feel it. We just don't experience it. And so help us to receive it. Help us to experience it. Help it. Give us eyes. Give us eyes to see the invisible. Give us eyes to see your promises. Give us faith, Father. We just pray for the Holy Spirit to just come. Just break out. This world is hurting, Father. We just pray that you would, the church is hurting. Start with the church. Fix all the messed up stuff, all the distractions, all the stupid stuff we're preoccupied with, the phones, the apps, just the stuff that is not ministering love and getting in the way of health and of happiness, freedom. We just pray against all that stuff right now, Father. Just help people.
help the church, and then turn around and let us help the world because they're lost. They have no idea. And we just pray for this city. And start here. Start with our church. Start with every other church in Fort Worth. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.